Continuing our series, Jelly and Jam, jamming out to a little jelly roll and talking about what to do when you get in a jam. And I believe by God's grace that it is possible, despite the hurt, pain, brokenness of life, you know, that it's possible to overcome the challenges of life. Victory's possible with the hope and peace and love and grace and power of God. You know, Jelly Roll, by his own admission, he has dealt with incarceration, addiction, mental illness for much of his life. And he turned that experience or those experiences into a catalog of what I would say are soul-bearing songs. You know, Heart of Stone is a deeply, deeply personal prayer. And it's from a very dark place. You know, he says, I'm in the dark, least of now, Lord, I ain't losing hope that somehow you can make this heart of gold from this heart of stone. You know, and it is a prayer that God has heard many times and has answered before. You know, God gave Ezekiel a message that was for God's people. I believe it's for us today. He says this, he says, I will give you a new heart and a new mind, and I will take away your stubborn heart of stone and give you a heart, or give you an obedient heart. God is always, always, always working to give us new hearts, hearts of gold, so to speak. You know, taking hearts of stone and turning them into tender and responsive hearts. You know, hearts that will be fully devoted to him. Hearts that will lead us to worship like this morning and remind us who we are. And more importantly, who we belong to. You know, hearts that change how we live, what we value. You know, it is a heart thing that we're going to talk about. Your Creator wants to turn your heart of stone into a heart of gold, a heart of obedience. You know, one day Jesus was walking the streets of Samaria, and he began talking with this woman, and he talked to her about the sin in her life. And she realizes early on that there is something very special about Jesus. And so this conversation they're having kind of takes a turn, and they begin to talk about the importance of worship. You know, she starts asking a lot of questions, trying to understand worship. And Jesus said this to her. He says, yet a time is coming and has now come when the true worshiper will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For they are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks. God is spirit, and his worshipers must worship in spirit and in truth. Worship is something that God seeks. It's something God desires. This happened several years ago. My grandkids, they were younger at the time, and they would invade the house for the weekend, and you know what I'm talking about. And Ethan was about 5 at the time, very self-conscious, extremely self-conscious. And he liked to sing, but he didn't want anybody around. And he didn't want anybody to hear him, okay? So on the way home from church, all the grandkids are in the car. We're jamming out. We're singing praise hymns. And I look in my mirror, and I see Ethan is back there singing with all of his heart. We got home. It was time for lunch. And Dason, he was about 3, and he offered to pray. And he started to pray, and Ethan's like, wait, I'm not ready, which was a strange thing because Ethan was usually kind of disinterested, I'll say, with prayer. And he would sit quietly, open eyes, watching everybody as we prayed. And I know you're going, well, how do you know that? Well, because I'd peek and I'd see him. And now some of you are freaking out. You're going, uh-oh, I better watch out. I didn't know he peeks during prayer, but, you know... I got my eye on you. Yeah. FYI, nowhere in the Bible does it designate a specific way, the physical, you know, posture for prayer. All right? It's the posture of the heart. You know, anyway, Ethan folded his hands, bowed his head. He goes, okay, I'm ready now. And in the voice that would have made a mouse seem really loud, Dason prays. And he goes, God is good. God is great. Let us thank him for our food. Amen. Now, I know you're going, oh, my goodness, he loves his grandkids. You know, he's telling us the story. But on the surface, that doesn't sound like a lot, does it? It's not anything significant. It's not extraordinary. I know that. But it made me smile. And more importantly, the creator of this universe, I'm sure he smiled that day. I'm sure God noticed what took place there. Friends, worship in whatever form is important. And here's the issue. There is a war being fought for your worship. A war that began before creation. A war that's recorded in the Old Testament, the book of Isaiah. You know, how did it start? Well, Scripture says there was an angel, and he was more beautiful than all the other angels. And his name was Lucifer. Now, many scholars believe that Lucifer, he functioned as the worship leader in heaven. In fact, Lucifer, they believe, was the choir director of the angels. And somewhere along the way, his desires, his motives, they turned inward. He got very selfish. And Lucifer began desiring something that only belonged to God, that only God was worthy of receiving. You know, Scripture says this, you said in your heart, this is Lucifer talking, I will ascend to the heavens. I will raise my throne above the stars of God. I will sit enthroned on the Mount of Assembly, on the utmost heights of Mount Zaphon, which was a sacred mountain, by the way. I will ascend above the tops of the clouds. I will make myself like the Most High. Friends, it was the beginning of a war for your worship. You know, God kicked Lucifer and a third of the angels out of heaven. They became our spiritual enemy. You know, Satan, legion of demons, however you want to put it. And I realize today we're all in different places. I get it. In fact, some of you, the fact that I'm talking about worship, you go, Damon, I'm not a worshiper. You know, I'm not religious. You know, to be honest, the fact that I'm even here is a miracle. I'm just looking for answers. And what I want to say to you, I'm glad you're here. You know, whatever reason brought you here, it's okay. You're in a place where you can hear God. And you will find what you're looking for. Some of you, when I suggested we're in a war, you know, I didn't see eyes rolling, but I'm guessing. You kind of blew me off about it. You go, damn it, that's a bit dramatic. You know, I'm not going to worship Satan. I'm way smarter than that. Friends, let me ask you something. This is just a theoretical question. If Satan had a mission statement of something he wanted to accomplish, what would be the win for him? I mean, what would that mission statement be? See, Satan's smart. He's smart. He realizes the situation. He knows he's probably not going to get you to worship him directly. He gets that. So his mission might be to get you to worship anything but God. You know, get you to make something in your life more important than God. If he accomplished that, I think that would be a win for him, don't you? I mean, see, Satan's smart. I mean, he's sly. We all worship something. What do you worship? You know, whatever's number one in your life, that's what you worship. I mean, some of you worship yourself. You know, life's all about me, you know, my desires, my wants, you know, my image. That's what I need. And I believe, especially in this country, it's easy to be self-absorbed, to be selfish. And don't misunderstand me here. There is nothing wrong with wanting to look good. There's nothing wrong with watching out for your interests, okay? But for some, it becomes the obsession. It becomes the most important thing. I mean, for some of you, if you're honest, you worship your kids. And this one's an easy one to do. You love them. You want the best for them. And you want to give them everything you didn't have. And so what do? You go overboard. You get involved in everything under the sun. Whatever they say, that's what happens in the family. In fact, for some of you, you don't feel like you're a really good parent unless you are run ragged. You know, games, practice, traveling, getting this, getting that. Always something that we're trying to do. Who we do it for? The kids. And your life revolves around them to the point that, if you were honest, some of you are consumed, not even enjoying life. You know, for some, it's this thing. Anybody got one of these? We worship this thing. You know, this little device, I mean, it keeps you tethered, right? I get it. To your job, to media, games. You can spend hours reading and doing stuff that's meaningless on this thing. This little device, some people are willing to sacrifice relationships for, their jobs, stay up all night, can't get up to make it to your work, your health. This has so much power. For some of you, this means everything. Gotta have this. This is the most important thing. Some worship money. Life's all about acquiring things. And I want you to hear, there's nothing wrong with money. In fact, money's a good thing. Money is not evil. The Bible never says that. The love of money is the problem. You know, when it becomes the idol, when everything in life is geared around it, you know, getting more and more and more, when you sacrifice everything for it, well, you better watch out at that point. You know, many in America especially, comfort is the thing we worship. We have all been blessed, haven't we? All kinds of things that bring comfort into our life. And what happens is, if you're not careful, life becomes about comfort. You know, the relational or recreational escapes, the fun fixes, the getting things that make life more comfortable. Chilling out, even, is about being comfortable. Life can very easily become about me, my comfort. And what happens is, life gets reduced to being comfy. I could spend all morning on this one. You know, the world is full of all kinds of diversions, comfort fixes. And most of those things are fleeting. Have you noticed that? And I know, as I'm talking, some of you are not sure that it's an issue. But see if this doesn't sound remotely familiar. You may have to change the story a little bit, but you come home from work. It's It's been a stressful day. You plop down in an oversized chair in front of an oversized box. Click, 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 click. All night long. If you got little kids, they come in. Can we play a game? I'm chilling out. Go play. Now your spouse comes in. Hey, can we talk? Oh, it's been a hard day. I just want to unplug tonight. Sound familiar? I mean, comfort. Comfort's first. And friends, I will tell you, you will miss out on opportunities that you will never get back if comfort rules in your life. And let's be honest for just a moment. I mean, for some of you, that's why you're not consistent at church, because the fact is, comfort, you know, it's easy. It takes effort to get to church, doesn't it? Now, I'm not talking about last week, okay? But it takes effort. It did take some effort. But it takes effort to get to church, doesn't it? It's easier to plop down in a chair or sleep in. And so what happens is you're not connecting with God the way you need to. And what I find sad about it, or funny, I don't know which, but some of you have never missed American Idol ever, you know, or The Traitors. You're never going to miss an episode of that, but church. And I know you're going, oh, that's just silly. I'd never do that. Don't miss my point here. My point is, what is the thing that you are willing to push God aside for? What is it? I mean, what is worship? Here's the definition. Worship is giving worth or value to something. It's placing it above everything else in your life. You know, worship is giving your heart to something or to someone. You know, worship is giving a priority to something and placing it ahead of everything else in your life. And I want to suggest to you, there is a war for your worship. Again, nothing wrong with the stuff we just talked about in and of themselves. But when they take priority above God, well, Houston, you got a problem at that point. You know, in Exodus 20, God gave Moses the Ten Commandments. And the first commandment that God gives us before he tells us don't murder and don't commit adultery and don't lie and all these things is God said this. He says, you shall have no other what? Gods, little g, no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself an image in the form of anything in heaven above or the earth beneath or in the waters below. You shall not bow down to them or worship them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God. Why did God say that? Well, because he's a jealous God. Because he knew that if you didn't get this one right, that you actually would destroy your life. You know, I was thinking about, how many of you remember Cracker Jacks? It was my favorite snack food, growing up. They get that little cardboard box that was filled with caramel corn and like two peanuts. And when you opened it up, when you were young, what was the first thing you did? The prize. There was always a prize inside. I remember my brother and I, we'd get Cracker Jacks, and we immediately start looking for the prize. And if my brother got a better prize than me, I was bummed out. I'm thinking, I want that. My grandkids were little. I thought I'd introduce them to it. And so I bought Cracker Jack box for each of them. I told him about my experience as a kid, and you know that there's a prize inside. And so they tore into it. They found the prize, and I remember this distinctly. Dason, he got one of these pencil toppers, and you'd go like this, and it would this bee. It looked like it was flying, and it was pretty cool. Ethan and Bella got a history quiz. That is not exciting when you're little. It's not exciting anytime, but yeah. So Dason, he's twirling his around. Ooh, this is so cool. Look at how neat this is. And Ethan turns to Bella. He goes, I wish I had that. You know, and I just started laughing because I thought, you know, some things never change. But I'm a jealous God. That is a huge statement by God. That's a hard one for me to get my mind around. I mean, what's it mean? Well, I think God, when he's looking at the world and he's paying attention to what's going on and he sees you or me and we're obsessing over this or that, I think God goes, I want that attention. I'd like to have that time. I would like that kind of affection. Who or what is sitting on the throne in your life? And if you're not sure, I would challenge you to just pray and ask God, say, God, show me what it is that I idolize. Show me the thing that I'm worshiping. Show me the thing I'm putting above you. Friends, deep in your DNA is a desire to worship. It's part of your God-given design. You know, God created us in his image so that he could have a relationship with us, so he could love us, so that we would love him and worship him. It's the main reason we exist. Do not miss this. You know, worship is bigger than the songs we sing. It's everything we do in our lives. You know, there's a story, Luke 19. It's about the followers of Jesus. They're people like us. You know, people that were trying to raise families, people that were struggling, you know, dealing with issues and problems. And they met Jesus, and their lives were changed. And so they started living differently. And this account, it takes place right before Jesus' arrest and crucifixion. It's known as the triumphant entry, you know. People are gathered in the streets because they heard Jesus was coming. They're awaiting his arrival. And when Jesus entered Jerusalem, they just started worshiping. You know, they're waving palms, throwing things on the street, it's covered. They're shouting, Hosanna, bless the King who comes in the name of the Lord. This is what would happen when, like, a king or royalty would visit a city. You know, people would throw things into the street so that they just walk on the path, not have to walk on the dusty roads. Friends, Jesus isn't just a king. He was the King of Kings. And people are worshiping him. And the Pharisees, they were the religious leaders of the day. They do not like this. In fact, they want it all shut down. And scripture says this, some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to Jesus, teacher, rebuke your disciples. In other words, shut this down. Tell them to stop. Jesus said, I tell you, if they keep quiet, the stones will cry out. He's echoing what was found in the Old Testament, that the stone walls would cry out to God, that creation cries, that the creation declares the glory of God. You know, one way or another, God will be worshiped. Friends, if we fail to worship God, you know, with our lips, with our voice, with our lives, you really need to know two things. First of all, worship will still happen. Because if necessary, the rocks will cry out. Creation already declares the glory of God. And know this. One day, we will all stand before, probably won't stand, we'll probably be kneeling on our face before the throne of God. Scripture says every knee will bow, every tongue confess that he's Lord. And so here's really the question. The question is not, will you worship? The question is, will your worship come too late? Something to think about. I'm going to say this one more time. Worship is bigger than what we do on Sunday morning. You know, worship is bigger and more than lifting our voices in praise to God. Worship is everything you and I do in our lives. Everything. And so I want to kind of narrow our focus for just a moment. When we gather like we did this morning, and we're singing, what's our purpose? I mean, when we gather on Sunday and we sing, we pray, you have never taken that step and worshiped if you think it's about you. When we worship, it's an audience of one, kind of like being in a play. It's God. We lift our voice to God. And friends, if you grasp that, it changes everything. It'll change your attitude. It'll change the way you look at things. It'll change your perspective. You'll quit saying things like, yeah, I didn't get anything out of that one. I really don't care for that song. In fact, you won't come to church expecting something from God. Now, you will get something from God. I mean, you won't come even expecting to hear from God, but you will hear from God. When you recognize that God alone, is the audience, well, you come not to get, but to give your worship, to give your heart. Full obedience, it just turns everything. Worship, it's responding to who God is, what God's done. You know, Paul writes this in Romans. He says, therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy, pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Worship is everything we do. It's our life. In view of God's mercy, in view of who God is, in view of God's love, in view of the fact that God sent Jesus Christ to die for your sins, to pay the debt, you know, in view of God that forgives you over and over and over and over and over. Should I keep going? In view of the great things that God's done in your life, in view of the good things that God has given to you, in view of God's mercy, we offer ourselves to God in worship, because what else do you do? And so I'm going to ask just one more time. What kind of heart do you want to have? Heart of stone? Or a heart of gold? Heart of obedience? And friends, let me say this. If you struggle with obedience, and we all do, by the way, but when you are struggling with obedience, might I suggest you worship? Changes your heart. Worship changes your heart. Worship will lead you to obedience, to overcoming whatever it is you need to overcome. Because that's how God geared us, created us. Some of you ought to put this on your dash, on your phone, wherever it is, somewhere you'll see it regularly. God says, I will give you a new heart, a new mind, and I'll take away your stubborn heart of stone and give you an obedient heart. I don't know about you. I want that. I want that in my life. God, you can have it. It's yours. Because you deserve it. Because you are who you are. Because you're blessed. I could go on mourning with why God deserves this. I challenge you to give God your heart today. Let's bow in a word of prayer. Our holy God, God, we praise you today. God, I pray that you would take our heart of stone. We all have some area. We've put up the walls. We've blocked you out. There are times we get so distracted that we don't even realize we've pushed you to the side. God, forgive us of that. God, I just pray that each and every one of us, you would create a new heart in us. A heart that's more loving. A heart that pursues you with more passion. A heart that wants to make a difference in this world for you. God, we give you our worship today. Help us to be obedient. Help us to be who you created us to be and have called us to be. May we give you glory with all we say and do. It's in Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. God's people said, amen. Amen. Let's stand. Let's worship. Let's give God what he deserves this morning. Prayer teams will be down front. They'll pray with you. You need prayer this morning, come down and just share with them.